Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to another episode of the Mindframe podcast. This is another sit-down episode where we talk about the content of the episode that just dropped. In this case, we're talking about Chapter 6. So you're listening because you're obviously a beloved patron and you've been listening to these. But as we always give the warning at the top, you might not want to listen to this one until you've listened to Episode 6 because we're going to be talking about the events and contents of Chapter 6. So if you don't want any spoilers, then make sure you listen to that one first. As always, I am Dave Moten. I am the author and narrator of Mindframe, and with me as always is Zach Smith.
Hello.
And Brent Van Tessel.
Yo.
And we will do our best to have a sit down and a conversation about the contents of Chapter 6. This, as always, is a podcast original, a Podbelly original, brought to you by podbelly.com. You can go there for all of your podcasting informational needs, as well as a list of great podcasts that you can listen to. And as always, we will do our best to go over some questions that won't necessarily give spoilers to some of the events and some of the mysteries that have been laced through the story, but will be a good chance to talk about it. We talk about everything from writing process to content to character work. So, but you should know the drill by now. This is the sixth one, so hopefully you've listened to the others and you know where we're going to go. So without further ado, let me turn it over to the roast master, who will ask the bulk of the questions, even though Brent throws in some really awesome ones as well. So, Zach, what do we got this week? What are we thinking? What are we talking about in chapter six?
A quick clarification. This would be the ninth one, right? Because we have
true. That's interlude. True.
So, yeah, if you definitely don't know what you're doing by now, you're a fucking idiot. just a couple of things. Like, if you listen to last week's or the interludes sit down, this might feel similar in... There's a lot going on here that is going to be addressed towards Brent because I don't want to, you know, badger Dave for information he can't really give us. So my first couple one directly to you, Brent. Do you think, I mean, this is Josephine's chapter. Do you think this is the Josephine that was having the conversation from the interlude? Is this after, before, somehow happening at the same exact time? Like, who is this Josephine?
I just really don't know, man, to be honest. Like, I don't know what I think about that. That threw me off a lot in the interlude when he said, "You're my favorite Josephine." I don't know. There's some weird stuff with, and I will ask Dave this, like, where she's seeing herself in the reflection. And I was wondering, is that symbolic? Is the mirror reference something symbolic?
Like, and she's fucking hanging a frame in this chapter.
Yeah, she said something about frames, but I think frames is a coincidence. Like, she said some old frames she had got, and I was like, does that mean something? Like, everything, I'm like, everything's suspect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like the spoon is suspect. Mm-hmm. Like, everything I'm examining to try to think, is it a clue or a hint of some sort? But I feel specifically, though, and I could be wrong, I don't know what you can tell us, but was the mirror symbolic of something?
I'm going to say it's the mirror is definitely worth noting, and I think even more so is worth noting that it isn't even a mirror.
It was the window, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. She saw her reflection in the window because it was brighter inside and dark outside. So right. That whole thing was happening. That's why she wants the curtain and whatnot.
Yeah.
I thought about it a lot. I was like, is he trying to tell us something here? Is there like a second, like an alternate dimension or like someone on the other side of the mirror? Because, I mean, it doesn't have to be that there's infinite Josephines.
No,
it could just mean that there's the one, that one and this one, that there's these two sides of the mirror. Like, you know.
Well, we were just talking about Twin Peaks before we got on here. And there's this phrase that's repeated in the newer series and in Fire Walk With Me, which is the good Dale's in the lodge. And it's like this. There's a lot of doppelgangers. There's a lot of things of where, like, who is who, what is what, and this last two, the interlude in this chapter six, has made me question all of that even further. But it does lead me into the theory I originally had, and it was something I brought up, I think, in chapter one or two. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to finally lay my theory out here, which is my theory was before the interlude was that time was soft and these characters were able to move around in it. That's still my theory, but what came to mind was the fact that Guillermo is a name that first comes up in the prelude in reference to Claire's father being named Guillermo. I'm thinking that Josephine also is somehow Claire's mom, Claire Campana, and she was married to a Guillermo in her time frame, but then we also get a Clarabel in this chapter that is Guillermo's niece. So I don't know. I didn't think about that. Initial kind of thing.
To answer the first question, like I thought about a little more. Like I think that yes, I think that is the same Josephine, because she had concern about being there mm-hmm. and that no one would be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it must be her, because mm-hmm. she expressed that to the Alpha in the interlude. And she was worried about being at the Dame. Like, she was worried about being there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it must be the same Josephine. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. There's something there still weird.
Yeah. I mean, if you take
that whole thing you just said, I didn't put that together. Yeah.
It was just something that kind of kept recurring to me as I paid attention to the names as we were going through the chapters. And I didn't want to bring it up like earlier on, because there was just so much still that we had to learn. And
she does talk about him passing.
She does talk about him passing in a fire
mm-hmm.
and
fireball thing.
And
yeah.
then Guillermo, the captain, died in a fireball of
right.
of stuff. So a lot of parallels between
Bill,
two.
The captain.
Bill, but Bill is a name short for William. And then William is in Spanish is Guillermo.
Correct.
But the thing is, you do call him Guillermo Campana in the interlude.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, so, you said that. So
yeah.
Are you allowed to say anything else about that or no?
Or in the prelude, I mean. In the very first chapter towards the end. Because I went back to check to see if it was true, or at least in the
But if she was a widow, generally widows keep their name, and he refers to her as Josephine Wu mm-hmm. or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So unless that's like Padawan. He's like Wu some weird little term for like I don't know. He's not answering. All right.
Well, I'm just kidding. So where do you place the So what one theory you just mentioned was that Josephine is Claire's mom,
uh-huh.
but then what do you do with the fact that we met Claire's
Clarabelle.
Mom?
In my head, that's some Josephine version in the future, because now we've established there are multiple versions of Josephine, just as in the sense there's multiple versions of this Guillermo, Bill, William.
They never
person.
Name her mom's name. They just
don't.
Say her mom.
They just say her mom. So that was the other thing in my head. If there's multiple versions of these people, characters, that's what my theory is.
Or it doesn't even have to be a version. It could just be Josephine now in that time
right,
frame.
Or the different frames. Yeah. That
she's just not at the Dame. Now she's
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
She's a different where or when.
Yeah. And so that.
But
that
she's just drinking shitty
one.
Tea or something. Like, it feels like she's too. Wow. But the Alpha was having mochas.
Mm-hmm.
Alpha was having like four
Jamocha,
shot mochas.
Like white. coffee. So yeah, that was like my initial theory when I started listening to
the Alpha likes food and drink.
What day?
Okay.
He got a smoothie. Yeah. He was eating some roasted Roman goat.
Isn't he like eating too when like, yeah. in the prelude? Yeah. Like as he's like yeah. looking at everybody.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't. That was.
He's very.
There's a relationship.
Maybe he's K-Pax. He's like so odd that he's experiencing shit. Like he's eating a banana with a peel on it and stuff
right.
because he doesn't quite know. He's Mork from Ork and he just doesn't quite get it.
Brent just blew the lid off yeah. of the whole story. Yeah.
It's Robin Williams.
Nanu Nanu.
Been this
Wait,
time.
That's what you got from this? No. That's not what I meant, Brent.
So I don't know because I'm still trying to correlate it in my head how it all works together, but there is a relationship between Claire, Josephine, Guillermo, Bill. There's something that coexists between all three of them. And then we also have an Uncle Alfie that's mentioned in this.
Alfie Alpha?
Alfie Alpha.
He's his own dad and everybody's dead.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
So there's... If they're not the same person or different versions, there's just something that is tying these characters together. And that's where I'm kind of at now.
I mean, you feel that with separate timelines and separate mm-hmm. character lines from everything we've ever experienced in any type of story. You start to think like something's connected. It's not going to mm-hmm. go all the way to the end. You're like, well, that was a nice five stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right. It's just, I think with like when I saw that, when Dave initially presented the idea to me and I was reading through like the rough drafts and there's like different time periods in my head, they were never in one way, shape or form going to necessarily meet each other. Right. This was just
right.
going to be somebody that
it could be as interconnected. Existed,
yeah. They could be their distant relatives or they can be somebody that they read their mm-hmm. book or something mm-hmm. when they were younger. Or what, you know, Josephine maybe read a book that Claire's going to read in the future, yada, yada, yada. But now to me, at the point we're at, there is some relationship that ties all these people together through space and time. And there is something about Bill that he's attracted to fire, no matter whether it be as Captain Bill Campana in the future or as Guillermo here in the past. There's something about this character that is attracted to that.
Or it's the same event, and she's just referencing it.
Just referenced in a subjective way, in the same way that the entity is said to appear to the person as a certain, you know, whatever thing to them.
Yeah, because we don't know, did Josephine acknowledge, because she would have to acknowledge because he died in the future, and she's in the past, that if he died, he didn't die in the past, he died in the future, and now she's habitating the past as her duty for what she's doing.
Right.
But she doesn't openly reference that she's, other than we hear in the interlude when she talks to Alpha, mm-hmm. she doesn't openly with any other character say that she knows she's some time dwelling.
And I don't think she knows. I think the Josephine that we see in chapter 1 and chapter 6 is a woman who is mourning the death of her husband, who is desperately in need of friends, and thankfully Teddy's there to come and help her. And that's kind of just what she lives with. But the dream aspect, the mind frame aspect, the time aspect, the space act, whatever that...
We'll call her Josie Wu.
Josie Wu. whatever Josie Wu's liminal space is.
JW.
Where it's not necessarily the physical anymore. She senses it. That's why the mirror freaks her, the window freaks her out. That's why I think she's having a panic attack.
Well, she does have this crazy dream in this. Yeah. Like this crazy dream that seems very futuristic.
Like an octopus sort of War of the Worlds thing comes out of the river, and they're back in New York, which is where they were in the previous chapter.
That's one of my questions on the paper. Is that thing that comes out in her dream the Mo-U? It sounds like it. It's clackety.
Which thing? The thing that's in the sky?
The thing that comes out and raises one story and then two stories, and it's like, yeah, it's like in the sky. And
there's two different things.
Oh, okay.
There's a thing in the river,
right?
Which is the blood red thing with tentacles mm-hmm. that rises several stories tall. But yes, there. I mean, she does describe a Mo-U okay. aside from that.
But okay. She said the clicking noise. I pictured the domino clackety shape-shifting.
Yep. And it's battling helicopters and jet fighters above New York City.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a different thing than the thing coming
okay.
out of the river.
I kind of merged those.
The thing in the river to me was the thing when I thought of like War of the Worlds, when it's like... just it has the tentacles, it has like the big thing, and it's just, you know, killing people.
Hopefully that's not the kill that finally came through.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, you know what I mean?
Be.
Like, what else is coming out of the river like that? You know, and it's in the future. And why would the Mo-U is a future technology,
right.
but used by man for right. monitoring things right. and for energizing things or something right. at the same time, right?
And so, the Mo-U is 130 years away at this point for them, or at least between.
And true. In her dream, she sees helicopters and jet fighters, which mm-hmm. are not futuristic.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it might not actually be her envisioning the future. It might just be some foreboding, foretelling, you know, weird vision that she's having.
And well, her reaction to seeing the Mo-U and the thing in the river is like, this is
not real.
I mean,
I must be dreaming.
It's what snaps her out of the dream.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like, these things don't exist. Yeah. This is impossible.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just it's lending also further to my theory that time is, you know, kind of fluid for her or them or everybody, maybe if you're able to do it. Like, there's not just necessarily one time for you. You
or
can
it's just a dream.
Multiple, or it is just a dream,
right?
Or a VR holodeck sort of situation. And then I just want to point out, I want to say she is hanging a frame, so I do feel that is telling to go back to like the framer idea that we kind of talked about.
Dave's pretty aware of what he's doing with verbally, right? Like, I mean, I think if he's writing that, he's not using the word frame without it maybe having something to do with
it. But that's what I mean,
yeah.
So that's why I think, like, it's another hint that, you know, maybe she's a framer. Maybe that's what allows her to do what she's doing. She's a framer on a ship, and that's where the Alpha's visiting them, maybe. And they're just experiencing these different times as they're helping to navigate the ship.
Maybe we finally answered the question we've all been wondering. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
That's it. You're blowing all.
I'm on fire.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, Guillermo better stay away because I'm on fire.
Belt.
Yeah.
And then I also just kind of wanted to like point out there was a lot of parallels between this chapter and the interlude too. We had the mentioning of New York again. We have the Alpha thing parallel.
And you reference the logo with the Q thing again. That gets brought up.
This time it's quantitative, right? That's being mentioned in this chapter.
Quantivus.
Sorry. Yeah.
I think of Rain Man every time, though. He's like, Quantus. Quantus never crashed.
And Quantivus is the name of
his real estate firm.
Real estate firm, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That and he, that, and, which he and Alfie co-founded. Yeah. Which is the reason that they're well off and able to live in the old Dame.
Okay.
Because he made a fortune on real estate, retired early. He was older than she was, but they were able to fully sell a bunch of shit, retire, and just move out. Like, he's out of the hustle. He still is co-owner of this major real estate company, but he's not selling real estate anymore. He's retired and living.
And we talked about this, but a couple weeks passed since we recorded. And maybe it's obvious to you guys and I'm just catching on to it, but didn't you say, Zach had asked in a previous sit-down episode if the old man was he was the guy from the first episode or whatever, and then we just said that you acknowledged last episode that that is the old man. The alpha is the old man?
The alpha from the interlude is the same person from the prelude.
But you had asked if someone was the old man from the prelude a couple episodes ago.
It's Teddy's friend, the one that helps him in World War II. That's like also stuff, my guess. Right. That's all. No, Teddy's in the past,
right?
But somehow the Alpha's back there helping him when he's in the Philippines.
Right. So then that means if this is Alfie's real estate firm, then that is isn't Alfie the old man then? Can't say anything.
I'm going to say yes. That's my guess.
So that's what I'm saying. So then that makes, based on the things we've revealed, I mean, this is a spoiler episode for people, or beware, we're trying not to totally spoil it.
Trying to imagine the person who's like, I think where I'm going to start.
We're trying to
is the ninth episode of this sit down, not having listened to anything.
David and I just had a long discussion about trying to map the website out to be like, hey, make very sure that you start at square one. Like, you cannot jump into the middle of this. I don't know if it would ruin it for you. It would just confuse the shit out of you.
It would.
Right.
I also like. Another theory I had from this chapter, she has a kind of like a panic attack when she like thinks about going out to get supplies. Mm-hmm. And I felt in my head, this was like maybe a reaction to what happened in the interlude. Cause she made the agreement she's going to leave. And now the body is having maybe, or the mind is having some sort of, or both having a negative reaction to this.
She might just be scared to drive an old ass truck and snow down road to go get groceries or whatever. Like,
yeah. That doesn't feel like a part of her though. Like, she doesn't feel like a person who's easily deterred that way. Like, I feel like if that was
maybe it's symbolic of leaving the Dame.
That's what I mean. Yeah, right. Like that. This is a very important space for her, and to leave it. So that also raises the question for me. Like, maybe she can't leave it. Like,
is the Dame the little brown building of where they're at?
Yeah.
And she doesn't even know why she's having
She just has it.
It's not something normal, and it's not like I can say it's not because she
does have
drive
like
a
medication
truck
though.
Yeah. But it's not because she doesn't want to drive through the snow or anything. Oh, okay. You know, it's she's having a visceral panic attack that isn't a normal function. Yeah. You know,
and I think part of it in my theory was that it was something about her accepting leaving, and it was just like, you know. It's when you have to make that hard decision or whatever, and you still just don't like want to do it.
Right.
And this is her reacting to it.
Where did you get the names Muffet and Porthos? Because I like those names. If I get a new pet.
Porthos is one of the Three Musketeers.
He was, but that's not why I chose the name.
Are you allowed to say or no?
No, I can say Muffet was the name of the Daggett on the original Battlestar Galactica. And Porthos is the name of the beagle from Star Trek Enterprise.
Okay, some nerd shit behind it. So that makes me happier.
Yep.
I love that every time I got a Star Trek reference, I'm totally wrong.
And that one you missed.
And that one I totally whiffed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it worth watching the original Battlestar Galactica, like the back in the day one, the goofy weird one?
If you want to watch some 80s fooey, it's worth it.
Like, it's not going to get you hooked. You're not going to binge watch that. You got to push through.
You're going to binge watch that if you, like, have a roommate and a lot of weed. Because you're going to think it's awesome because it's awful. I mean, it's
like Next Generation Ferengi, but, like, 80 episodes of it. Like,
worse than that.
Would they have the neon lasso? It's worse than the neon lasso Ferengi.
I mean, the power of the remake of Battlestar Galactica is that one of the best episodes is about them trying to do mining, desperate for minerals to keep the human race alive. And there is a damaged, psychotic Cylon Raider that they've nicknamed Scar that's flying around shooting them all down, and they have to take stims to stay awake, and it's this intense dogfight drama of an episode. The original, they crash landed on a planet that happened to be full of, that was like set in the 1850s, and there was a rootin' tootin' gunslinging Cylon named Scar who they had to shoot at high noon. And it's like, once I realized that this episode was, once they said Scar, I was like, okay, you guys are the masters. You even made that god-awful episode into something awesome.
Yeah, that's very next generation sounding, to be honest. Like, they run out of like conceptualizing alien planets on Star Trek, so they just make it a different time period.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
but that's what all the original looks like series.
France,
but
yeah. I feel like that's the first two seasons of Next Generation.
Kind of. Like, well, because that's what the original series was. Like, that was what they did, you know.
It took not even holiday, but when they land and see another civilization, it's just like, it's just dated or something.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Next nerd. Moving on. Talk about our other nerd stuff we're supposed to be talking about.
So, it's funny. Like, we've actually ran through a lot of the questions I had. So, the last question I had... Brent, how does Teddy have a cell phone? Because she says she's going to text, call. She texts him, and he's like, oh, I'll be right there. And she texts him back, says, you know, apologizes, and he immediately responds, no worries. And then in my head, I'm like, how the fuck does 1959 Teddy have a cell phone?
Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually. Yeah, because when he drives home, it's a different time period. Yeah, he's in it somehow. Like, there's something. He has a brown belt. He just hasn't admitted it yet. We haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's in Interlude 2. I want to guess that probably is in Interlude 2. I don't know how he's structuring this, but the first interlude exposed
her
some serious juju for Josephine.
Yeah.
I should call it woo-woo. And true. Yeah, I think that on Interlude 2, there are these interludes throughout, yeah? I'm assuming it's going to interlude the next character probably.
Yeah.
And then we're probably going to find out that he's got a brown belt.
And then that, I guess.
Actually, I can spoil this. You'll get an answer to that question in chapter 7.
Okay.
Oh.
Because the other thing that I guess I was confused about by this when I started thinking about Teddy was, if I agree with you, there's something, he's able to do stuff and he has capabilities. Do Manny and Junior then have the same capabilities? Because they always roll with him.
Or
they
just sidekicks.
But they...
I don't know. You know what? Because in the interlude, the New York scene with the guy that's oblivious to the fact that he's doing it. But I don't know. People would be like, what is that thing you just pulled out of your pocket in 1959 at this house with all these people living in this house? Because they live in a house with a bunch of people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they would see that cell phone. Yeah. Like, what was that?
But he has a back... Like, he kind of lives in like the mother-in-law.
True.
So if he was... back there on his own.
Yeah, so he's not oblivious to it. He's aware he has some crazy technology, but he couldn't be oblivious that it's like he gets there and it's like everything's high tech and he drives home and it's whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yep.
The other thing is too, like when you see Josephine's space, there isn't necessarily anything super high tech about what
is happening
in her
plasmas
area.
On the wall or anything.
Right. It's 2010, yes, or 2012. I can't remember. Was hers 2010 or 2012? It makes a huge difference.
I can't remember because it goes back. I think it's 2011. The confusion is because in the prelude, the old man can't remember if it was 2010, 2011, 2012. Okay. So then I always forget. I think it's actually circa 2011.
So sometime within those, 2011 then.
Actually, I have it written down. It is 2011.
Okay. Yeah.
So but as we listen to these chapters, we don't get any mention of any, I don't think... Off the top of my head, I don't remember any mentions of computers, smartphones, like you said, a plasma television.
The newest technology was drywall or something. That did get mentioned, right? There's like this new technology that Teddy wanted to use called drywall that he was going to use.
Yeah.
But he was bringing like new drywall tech from 1959 to drive it up the hill to the dame to install it. And then she wanted some things done original. One other thing I did notice was the narration of it says that she often dreamed of falling aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
Is that notable?
I think it's notable.
I mean, dreaming is important, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dreaming is important.
Anything that she dreams is going to be important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought so, and I thought it was mentionable, that whole war thing, and is it a, like, is this predecessor to, like, that the war is coming?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, mm-hmm. I guess if the war starts early, maybe, I don't know, that tentacle thing keeps throwing me off, though, because it's like jet fighters and helicopters, but they do still have some gas stuff. Because what you said, there were still some gasoline things
in when there Claire's was
still
chapter.
Yeah, when there was still MOU and like,
yeah, in the 2142 chapter, there are still a handful of military vehicles that use gasoline engines.
But gasoline is just not like a jet, a helicopter. Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know.
That was actually the end of my questions, just because there's so much here that I don't know how to unpack. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this one and the interlude are so heavily tied together that,
and they clash,
and they do clash.
You
know,
they don't seem to fit together properly.
So I was just going to turn it over to you, Brent, if you had anything in your notes that I hadn't brought up yet.
Isn't this the term Mars needs curtains? That's what she says that.
Yes.
So? Yeah.
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 And that's not indicative of anything. That's just a clever phrase that they have between each other where she says that. Why does she say Mars needs curtains? Because she's so far out.
Yeah, just because she's like, she's in the middle of nowhere. She's way out there. Needs him to bring stuff up to the mountain.
Mars needs crackers. Yeah, Mars needs curtains.
And it's like the old movies, like Mars Needs Women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's like a reference to old 50s sci-fi, actually. Because there was a Mars Needs Women that was probably in the 60s. I don't know what year it came out. But it's that kind of a reference, and it's just an inside joke, and they'll just say, you know, Mars needs beer, Mars needs chocolate, whatever she happens to need. She can just text Teddy and say, you know, Mars needs, you know, chili, and he'll know to bring some cans of chili up or whatever she needs. That's just their little phrase.
She'd be better prepped for the record, too. She had, like, no food, and it's like Snowyville. Like, yeah. But you expect you could order some groceries.
Right. And that was the thing. Like, she had the delivery was delayed. It was supposed to be there like a week or two ago,
I believe.
So the delivery was supposed to have already been there, but the truck was down. The delivery driver quit. She wasn't able to get the food delivery that she needed.
Was any of the like habit shopping of buying, you know, Barbasol and ham and all these things that she gets, is that meaningful in any way? Or is that more just to show that she still hasn't like gotten over, or like not enough time? How much time has passed since Guillermo died?
Been over a year.
Been a year since he died?
Yeah.
Because your whole theory is like throwing me off. I'm trying to come at it from different angles. Like if he died a year
ago. No, that's just my thing where it's like whatever.
Or did we forget some obvious thing where it's like, no, he got hit by a car. You guys aren't paying attention. Like, I don't think that was said how he died. Did it?
It's just in the fire.
He died in the fire in the Dame.
It was a fire in the Dame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless there's some creepy, weird room that is like, when you step into there, you're in the future.
That's why I'm like thinking their relationship is just tied somehow to each other, either throughout time, or these are all the same people. Like Bill is Bill, Josephine is Josephine, Clarabelle is Claire Campana, and they're just existing in some different space.
I mean, crazy stuff could happen where like the Dame is the spaceship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Or it's part of the frame.
Yeah, like, and somehow it occupies the same space as the ship or something weird. Mm-hmm. That'd be wild.
That's why I'm thinking, like, I think it's something that the interlude opened up for me, where it's like, okay, time and space are soft in general within this story. So now we have an example of how this could just be one Josephine out of... Like, my favorite writer talks about how, like, what if we could look backwards? And if we saw ourselves, we would look like a caterpillar, right? Just this ever-existing image that goes back and forth because that we don't get to see how what 5 seconds ago looked like.
Right.
We're just constantly within the moment.
Right.
Or like Vonnegut talks about in Slaughterhouse-5, the Trafalgarians can see time and space is like one thing. And one Josephine out of her... you know, caterpillar section has been pulled out now, and she's going to meet that alien. And this is maybe another Josephine that's just still here. Maybe not the favorite, or maybe this is the favorite and hasn't happened yet, or it has happened yet. I don't know. Because time
it's a solid theory. Yeah. Like, if you only need one per time, like if you were occupying 5 seconds ago, and if time, if you viewed time in its entirety as a timeline,
mm-hmm.
from the beginning into the end. And you could see it from outside that, the ferment mm-hmm. of everything, and you could see history in a timeline form, then yes, there was a Josephine there, mm-hmm. there. And so maybe you're right. Like, if you could pluck that one out from 5 seconds ago, because it doesn't matter.
For some reason, that Josephine seconds ago was the best one.
Yeah, and use it somewhere else, because mm-hmm. it's not needed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
At least, yeah, I don't know. That's a weird thought. I've never thought about that before.
Yeah,
because it's not being used anymore. Our concept of time mm-hmm. is linear, so it's like once it moves, it's gone.
Right.
But if you were like God and you can see it all at once,
time and
like,
space is one.
Yeah, like a DVD. If you're watching a DVD movie, you know what I mean, and you're like, oh, that happened at that part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But when we see the DVD movie, we're like, no, that whole thing's there. Mm-hmm. All those events,
right?
Occurred.
Yeah, it's all right mm-hmm. there. Yeah, yeah.
You can take that dude from here. You can take that dude from there. Mm-hmm. And an infinite, depending on how you slice it, number for an hour and a half mm-hmm. exist of that. That's a trip. I've never thought about that.
Well, it's because like one of the theories for time space is that we just exist in like this prism that everything is happening at once within our universe. Mm-hmm. You know, just in our normal universe. And if you were able to move up to like the fifth dimension, you could just look down on it and you could see it all happening. Right. All
well, like
at
if you paused
time.
It, if we were the movie and you paused us, mm-hmm. we don't know that we got paused.
Right.
Because we start mm-hmm. experiencing it on play again, and we could be mm-hmm. paused and someone's getting popcorn right now and hitting play mm-hmm. on us again. And then we come right back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trip.
Mm-hmm. And he posits this, the writer posits this, because he writes a lot of comic books. So his idea is that the whole universe is a comic book. And if you stay on that one page, that's what's going on for that amount of time. And time doesn't, in theory, move until I turn the page.
Mm-hmm.
But I can also jump between year one and turn 8 pages, and now I'm over here in this different time frame. So
that's cool theory. It doesn't make it so. I mean, yeah.
Right, right.
That's just what popped into my head for here. We have a Josephine maybe dealing with this, or maybe this, she hasn't been plucked yet, and it's somebody that can... And you know, when you get that eerie feeling that something's about to happen, she's having that like something is about to,
or maybe that panic attack moment was that moment. It totally represents that moment. Yeah. When mm-hmm. she's with the alpha, it's like, oh, don't worry about it. She's cool. Yeah. Like she's good now. Like the panic attack happened cause you're here.
Yeah.
And then after that, she's just the new one.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us things, Dave. We've been talking again. We did it.
Well, I want to say that the last sit down and this sit down are like, this is what I like about science fiction, because when you pick up science fiction,
all things are possible.
All things like everything is on the table on page one. And as you keep reading, especially with a really good sci-fi writer, it's like you suddenly have 3 or 4 theories of what the hell might be happening right here. And then all of a sudden in the next chapter, that one isn't it. Mm-hmm. Like you just prove that. And then that one isn't it. And then, oh, but this might be it. And it's like it's like the waveform hasn't consolidated yet. And it's mm-hmm. like you're just spinning in your mind, what could this be? What could be happening right now? And until the pieces are all laid in place, that the waveform keeps narrowing, and then you're like, oh, that's what's happening. That's the path I'm on. And it's like, I really love that about science fiction. And I love the last 2 sit downs where you guys have been theorizing about this, and I can't really say anything because I would collapse the waveforms. But I'm just like, I think that's what's great about science fiction is that I have to, you know, you have to play detective somewhat in science fiction, and you have to eliminate the endless
until we learn the rules. Yeah.
But because there's endless possibilities. Are they dimension hopping? Are they all space aliens? Are they dogs with mega brains? Are they more?
Are they their own father and they're dead?
It's all on the table. Yeah. And then one by one, evidence starts to prove or disprove theories until you get the one that you land on.
But you said something interesting there, until you learn the rules. But I think this is what I've liked so far about this story is I thought I knew the rules. And then that got
right. Something could always turn. I mean, Asa could always turn something crazy.
And right. I think that's kind of what you're saying too, Dave. And that something that I really like about science fiction as well. It's just we don't know. This could literally go anywhere.
Right.
And we could be, you know, it could somehow also still simultaneously be a dream, a holodeck, space time travel all at once.
Right.
Who knows? Yeah, it could still all be all those things at once as well. So I'm. Yeah, I just
and all. All things will become clear like that.
Yeah.
That is a promise I make. But in the meantime, it's still a lot that's up in the air. The two things, I mean, you usually ask, like, what are things to pay attention to or to note? I think one thing is, I think it's important to note that Josephine is not stable.
Yeah.
Like, she's not mentally stable. Like, she's not okay. And as much as she tells herself she's strong and she can make it up here by herself and whatever, she's having nightmares. She can't sleep without sleeping pills. She is now having panic attacks. Like, she's not mentally well.
Some Fight Club shit.
Even at a certain, like, I'm trying to also, it's like, you know, I've mourned the loss of loved ones, but it's like, I want it to feel like she's still too deep in mourning for how long ago the death was. And that's part of what's, you know, she's
definitely felt like some PTSD, right? Like, yeah. That panic attack felt like I get it. If you're, husband had just died 2 weeks ago, but kind of now
she expresses that she's looking forward to, like, her niece or not yeah. niece or the guy's
Alfie's niece
yeah. being there to have someone with her.
Is Clarabelle Alfie's niece, not Guillermo's niece? Did I read that?
Guillermo's niece.
That just kind of
Alfie's bringing Guillermo. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. That makes right. sense. Yeah. Because I think the entire episode ends on that she can't do it alone.
Right.
In solitude like that. Like, right. So obviously, yeah, she's having some, like, separation anxiety and loneliness. And,
yeah. And I think that also then ties back to my theory of that even though Claire's dad was gone, she still had her mom. And even though the mom, the unnamed mom, her husband was dead, she still had her daughter. In this case, rather it being a
and her name's
daughter,
Clarabelle?
Her name's Clarabelle.
I see what's up.
whose name is Clarabelle?
This girl's name mentioned yeah. in chapter 6.
Yes.
Yeah.
But if it's Guillermo's niece and you verify it's Guillermo's niece,
yeah.
if
it, it's not I'm just saying, that's what I'm saying. It may not be an exact sort of like
Josephine got loop. Pregnant by Guillermo's brother.
Yeah.
But they Bill. Didn't get married.
It's a telenovela.
yeah. And then they married. So it is actually her mom, but Guillermo's niece. Yeah. See what happens here.
And Alfie is really the guy in the bee costume.
Bumblebee man this whole time.
He was on that allergy medicine commercial. I saw him.
You mentioned something last sit down, and I kind of touched upon it again with, like, the time jumping, but now it comes a little more solid in my head where, like, maybe Alfie Alpha is kind of like a Dr. Manhattan sort of guy mm-hmm. where he sees it as like a prism and it all makes sense to him. So he can go.
I mean,
it
in a sense
time.
That, like, I think Manhattan says, maybe I'll create some life or something at some point.
Right.
He says that. And I was thinking of it like that. Like, maybe I'll make a planet. Cause, like, yeah. at that one point where the clouds roll in and all of a sudden they're on a cruise ship mm-hmm. and he says, it's all you. Mm-hmm. Then I'm like, she generated that reality.
Right.
Or she's creating that dream state, even if they're in just a dream state and mm-hmm. they're occupying. I mean, that might be now that we're saying that. Because she's about to dream the alien dreams with the other person. Mm-hmm. And he said that the alien or the entity would be in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe
she never left this body. Maybe yeah. this is still this Josephine.
They're just able to generate, like, dream environments and navigate yeah. those.
It's a subconscious that's interacting with this higher alien intelligence. Yeah. Fuck. A lot of stuff, Dave.
A lot of stuff going on.
Brent, I like it though. I'm fucking yeah. have a blast, man. Thank to be honest, you, yeah. like, this shit's fun. I'm a fan of my friend. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it's a weird thing where I'm like, I have access to behind the scenes, but I'm like, don't tell me.
Right.
And
right.
I mean, like, I'm just like, I want to know, but I don't want to know. So I look forward to listening to every next episode.
Yeah.
Even though I record it, like, I don't experience it until I go listen to it. Like, I right, sit here and record right. it, and it's mm-hmm. more about, like,
just working.
Did we get this done yeah. correctly?
Right.
And then when we go listen to it, it's a complete different experience for me. I'm like still in the story.
Yeah.
Even though I watched it happen, I dig it. I think it's going to make me want to read books more, to be honest.
right.
Because especially your book, like, you just gave us 181 Pine.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to reading it because your style of writing, like your descriptive terminology, the mm-hmm. way you say things about, like, the knife crushing through the, I know authors do that. But I don't know, like the intro to the interlude versus, like, that thing, like, the just, it's very eloquently done. Like, you're,
thank
it's
you.
It's very it's artful.
Thank you.
And it's just, it's well said. Like, there's a lot of quotable quotes in there, a lot of things where you're like, damn, that needs to be just, like, on a piece of paper or a sticker or a T-shirt or something. And I'm just impressed by you that this shit comes out of your mind.
And there's a haunting image from 181 Pine in the very first chapter where a man is looking at a reflection of himself in a pilot helmet, chewing his own tongue off.
Oof.
And that image has never left my brain, Dave. Thank you.
I remember guns and a helicopter and like, yeah, I remember that. I made it a fair way into it.
Yep.
Maybe I'll try tonight and get the, I'll download the electronic version. I actually have the other one, but now I'll get this one because I know it's been revised.
So I just kind of want to finish my thought up on the Dr. Manhattan thing. What if this alpha guy, you know, is forming his Ocean's 11 team, but rather than everybody's existing at the same time, he's able to kind of pluck them.
Well, maybe because you said revenge on WorldGov, and he said, I need her to start receiving messages because she's getting debriefed, which would be almost militaristic of training. And that when she says, oh, is there going to be another messenger? And he says, this is not that. Yeah. It's because maybe, yeah, this is the A-team. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the other crew. I'm recruiting my own people because we're going to have our own five messengers and we're going to have a side conversation with the Kel. I could definitely see that happening. That makes a lot of sense.
And since he's able to move through whatever the space is and however he chooses, because he's the black belt, like you said, he can pick whomever he wants and whenever he wants.
Yeah, they're like, they're the Nebuchadnezzar. They're like, you know what I mean? They're outside of the system and hacking into the Matrix and doing what they need to do. That is a vibe, since you're bringing that up, of maybe he's recruiting.
Yeah, and he can just do it from whenever. So that's kind of a great idea too. So good shit, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
I think I don't have any other questions. Brent, did you have any other questions?
Nope, that's all I got. One?
So I'll use the mention of the 181 Pine to plug it really quickly. I got my demo prints of it yesterday, so I've got a hard copy. Cover looks amazing, so thank you, Nicole, for the cover. It looks really good.
That cover looks awesome. Sick. Like, amazing. It is like 3D. Yeah. Like, I mean, Zach, we're talking about, it looks like if you touched it that it's
you'd feel
embossed
the hexagrams
or something. Yeah, yeah. This looks great.
So based on those test prints, they're making a couple of little tweaks to it, and then it'll be shipping. So you can go to the website, mindframepodcast.com, and go to the store, and you can buy a copy there. Hopefully by the time you're listening to this episode, it will already be up on Amazon, so you can buy it on the Kindle, or you can buy it internationally from Amazon. But also on the store, you can get the amazing books of Mr. Zachary Smith. Zach, you want to say something about your books real
quick?
Sure.
There should be four books on there. Wolves at the Door, which is my first novel. It's a dystopian novel that's about California and wolf conservation all at the same time. And there are two novels about wrestling. So if you enjoy pro wrestling, it's something that kind of helped me through a rough time. Something I've been a fan of probably since I was a kid. I think it's the first narrative I remember storytelling form wise. And just kind of explored that through a lot of research. And there's one novel, one story collection. You can read them separately or you can read them together. Their characters jump over from both. And then my last novel I just came out with was Hotel California, which is a horror novel inspired by Stephen King's The Stand and The Shining as well. And just combining that with my experiences out at different music festivals like Coachella and Outside Lands.
So you can check all that stuff out on the website. You can also get merch, hats, coffee mugs. What else do we have on there?
Awesome. Yeah, merch, hats, socks, coffee mugs, stickers.
All kinds of stuff. And more will always on there. Be rolling in. So you can
Every chapter and that passes, that to be honest, like, yeah, if you hear something, you can message us and say, hey, it would be cool if there was a hat, or like, I would totally dig a sticker that says this from that, because we could use those little hints. I mean, I'm on it. We're thinking of stuff constantly, but if there's something you want to see on a t-shirt, tell us and we'll see what we can do.
And we are a Podbelly original. The lovely people at Podbelly do all the production and design and behind the scenes stuff, making the show possible. If you go there, you can find other shows like Nerds on Topic and Paranormal Punchers, or I said that one last time. Nerds on Topic and Kim and Kat Stay Alive Maybe are some of the other fellow podcasts on our network, and you can go and check those out. And then you can reach us on social media. On Facebook, we are Mindframe Podcast. On Instagram, we are The Mindframe Podcast. On Twitter, we are The Mindframe Pod, because somebody got to all the good names before we could. And then on Reddit, we are the subreddit there is r/Mindframe Podcast. So message us, check us out, make some posts, look for fun stuff. I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you're enjoying the sit downs. Thank you for being a patron. And as always, the Lariat is closing.